Elite 14 podcast powered by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sports book, Bet Local. We are joined with a special guest, the man that is throwing absolute fucking fuzz to start spring training. He's an old friend, Mitch White. How we doing, Mitch? How we feeling?
Good, good. Thanks for having me here. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to join up again, actually, in person this time. So I'm excited.
Yeah, we had to get you on after seeing you just sling 98 yesterday like it was nobody's fucking business. So we were kind of obligated to do it.
Yeah, it's been a good offseason.
So we're about a year removed from the first one, the dating scene, the Margot Robbie thing. Looking back on that, how do you, again, we're a year away. What was that like?
I mean, I think I said it at the time, all press is good press. It's like, I'll take it. It's not true, but I'll take it.
Dude, yeah, that was wild. That was wild.
It was fun.
The thing is like now, let's say hypothetically you get a girlfriend and her parents start like searching who Mitch White is, there's going to be articles like Mitch White, Margot Robbie from Entertainment Tonight Canada popping up. So that's always
that should be a tire pump.
That's a great tire pump.
Yeah, exactly. I guess, I mean, it's something to talk about if nothing else. It still gets brought up here and there, so I love it.
Yeah, it's been a good ride we've had with you here, man. But obviously, speaking about that, we're a year removed from obviously that. You're a year with the Jays now. What has been, like, the biggest adjustment you've had to make, obviously? I mean, obviously, it's been a roller coaster of your time here with the Jays, but now you kind of seem like you figured it out, hucking 98. What was last year like for you as an adjustment, seeing what it's been like just kind of trying, like, up and down from the big leagues to the minors?
Well, first off, I never want to say I figured it out because it's like you never really do. That's the craziest thing about this game. And the guys who are able to do it consistently are incredibly impressive. You look at a guy like Jose Berrios, it's unbelievable, 32 starts a year for forever. But in terms of last year, it was a lot. I mean, I started, you kind of split the year in thirds, I guess. I came down here to Dunedin to rehab January 5th. So it was a long year, first of all. And that was rehab pretty much through, let's call it June, July. Say July. I don't even remember. And that was tough because my arm wasn't cooperating. It'd be like, all right, now we're throwing live BPs, and then, oh, no, something happens. And then back to the grindstone, and we just keep doing that. Then I went out to rehab in Buffalo, kind of did all that, and made it back to Toronto, but I wasn't good. I pitched every week, maybe, and had a couple good ones, mostly bad ones, and got DFA'd, which sucked, obviously. But I think that was the biggest mental reset, and it helped my body heal a little bit, too, and then kind of gave me the ability to, one, start in Buffalo and build up again at the end of the year. And then kind of have, with that mental physical reset, I was able to do a little better.
A lot of people, like, career years at Buffalo, it seemed, for all the hitters. Do you think, how did that Buffalo, after the DFA, kind of change your mindset? Did you, like, maybe find the love for it again? Or just you were so healthy and the stuff was back that it just, you're back to what you knew you could do?
I mean, it's always more fun when you're playing better. I think that's just understood for sure. It was a good group of guys. We had a lot of fun. It just gave me kind of a chance to step away for the most part. And I think that was a good reset. And yeah, that team raked by the end of the year. It was really fun winning with them and hanging out. And we were all there together. So,
when was the last time you think you took a mental break from baseball before that?
I mean, obviously in the off season you get a chance, and usually I don't necessarily need it, I guess, but I think just with the way that year had gone, it was tough. So I guess in the middle of the season like that, I mean, I got COVID in 21. That was bizarre. So I was just sitting in a hotel for 3 days. That wasn't even a mental break.
That
was just
like that sounds horrible.
That was like prison. That was just like you're stuck in a little hole. But that one worked a little better.
Speaking about that Buffalo team, we have to have that discussion. I mean, the balls were juiced there, right? I mean, every single fucking hitter hit like 380 with like 22 home runs. Horwitz obviously raked there. Obviously, he's really good anyways. But every single guy that got called up to the Blue Jays, they show their AAA stats. It was like 340, 26 nukes, 140 RBIs. Were the balls juiced to Buffalo? They got to be. Or is that just a launch pad?
No, it wasn't either. I mean, the balls were not juiced. Buffalo's not a launch pad, especially when the wind's blowing in. They're just nasty. I mean, they raked. Some of it, I think, was a little bit of the ABS zone the first half of the week. I don't know if you know how that works. So it's like first half of the week, they do auto balls and strikes where the umpires don't call anything, and it's just TrackMan. So they have a little feed in their ear, and it tells them ball or strike, and that's it. Second half of the week, it's a challenge system where they're calling their own zone, but hitters get three challenges. So they tap their helmet, and they say that was a ball or that was whatever. Pitchers can do it too on defense.
What did you prefer out of that?
The challenge system, for sure.
Challenge system?
The ABS zone, the problem is that the league can dictate what the zone is, obviously. They decide. So what they did in the International League is they took, like, the top, I don't want to say third, but, like, let's say 2 inches off the top of the zone, because there's the highest swing and miss rate on heaters is top of the zone, like high heaters. That's how people have been pitching over the last handful of years. So it took away a lot of swing and miss, but it also rose walk rate went way up.
I would never even thought of that. Do you think big leagues like that'll adapt well to the big league system?
I mean, from what I've heard through the union and all that, they say ABS isn't ready. They don't foresee it coming in the next, you know, handful of years, but the challenge system, there's a decent chance, which I like, because I think it's great. I think it works well in practice. It's fun. So, like, if someone challenges a ball, say you're at the plate and you're like, that wasn't a strike, it goes up on the Jumbotron.
Like VAR.
That's fucking electric.
It's like VAR, exactly. And you see the ball coming in. It's like kind of slow-mo. It's like, and then everyone cheers or boos or whatever. So that makes it fun, actually. The only issue with that is that the league still gets to dictate the zone, in my mind, because they can decide. If they do find a good zone and just keep it, that'd be great. The worry is that they kind of tweak it year by year based on offensive results, because obviously the game, people want to see offense, which I get, but I'm just worried that they could swing it in the far direction like they did with the ABS zone this year.
We were talking to, I believe it was Burnett yesterday, and Burnett said that just out of nowhere, just something just started clicking for you. You just started throwing 98. I'd love to hear it from your perspective. Like, what was the first time last year you just started throwing absolute gas? Because obviously you were sitting like 93, 94 for a little bit there, right, I believe? And then just 97, 98, we saw you this spring. You're the talk of the camp right now, obviously. You're throwing 98. You look great yesterday. What clicked for you? Like, was it a workout? Like, when did you just start feeling like I would just start throwing 98?
Yeah. So I got DFA'd at the deadline out of Toronto, and I basically took a week. It wasn't quite a week, whatever. Took a week off. I was throwing, but it was all pretty light. It gave a chance for my arm to get better. I think the health definitely played a role.
Shoulder. Thing.
Yeah, I was dealing with that shoulder stuff. And I was like, I mean, over the course of the season, that's just how it goes. People are dealing with stuff that you don't realize all the time.
Yeah.
Regardless of the injury list. So there's that. And then there's a couple of mechanical tweaks I had just to basically get into my legs better. And those were the two biggest things that I really honed in. And then over the course of the buildup, I was able to slowly, steadily build up and get on a 5-day routine, which I think helped with the health a lot, as well as gave me a chance to work on some stuff more and get consistent work in on the delivery.
What were the hacks to get into your legs for people?
Yeah. So if you want to get nitty gritty, it's like, for me, the thought was almost like an RDL, like when you lift, like it's a hip hinge. So it's like getting there, except with one leg, obviously. So it's like hinging this back hip a lot better and then combining that with a little shorter arm stroke. So it's like I've traditionally been really long, like I do that. And it's like even that move puts a lot of stress on the shoulder there. And that's what shoulder impingement is when this pinches up front. So by keeping this a little tighter, I was able to get into the slot a lot cleaner and more consistently to protect my arm as well. And then in addition with the lower half, using the engine of my lower half a little better, I wasn't putting as much stress on the top.
Do you think overall, if you look back on getting back to 98, would you say you're getting back healthy to how Mitch White was before, or it was a hack? We're getting way better than it was.
I haven't been throwing this hard since 17, I think.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So when I first was coming up, my first spring training with the Dodgers, I was throwing probably similar velocity-wise. And then I had a series of unfortunate injuries where, like, I broke my toe playing beach volleyball. I hurt my back deadlifting, blisters, shoulder stuff, just dumb stuff. I think that stuff that comes up naturally and things that probably I could have done a better job personally of taking care of my body, and I just didn't really know what I was doing. But, I mean, that's just the game. You live and you learn and figure out these things over the course of a career. Some people better, quicker than others. Some people a little slower than others. And I was just lucky to get an opportunity.
Well, also, I think a big thing for you is, like, going into spring training now, you have obviously no options left. It's like, because either you're on the Jays or another big league team's going to pick you up. What has been your mindset for that? Because obviously it seems like you're just coming in with that dog mentality, like, I'm going to be in the big leagues no matter what. Obviously, you're throwing fucking 98. I'm sure any team on the planet would love to have you. What's been your kind of mindset coming into this spring, knowing that it's either the Jays or it's any other big league club?
Man, the way I think about it is, one, we have legit pitching on this team. I think we have almost too much. It's like, where's everyone going to go?
Yeah.
There's just not enough spots, unfortunately, because everyone is great. But for me, it's exactly that. Just pitch as best as I can and show what I've got and do the most I can. I don't really think about the whole depth chart. I haven't like worked down our roster yeah. of pitchers and like, yeah. oh, there's a spot in the bullpen. I don't really try to think like that
because
I think you can drive yourself crazy doing that. So all you can do is the best you can do and go from there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Just the biggest thing with that is you're making at the end of the day, you're making it really hard on this team to, like, leave you off of the club, right? And that's the best thing you could do. So, I mean, this spring, obviously, how have you been feeling? Like, are you just – do you just feel – does something just feel different for you? Are you more confident on the mound? Because these – usually you were a guy that was, like, walking a little bit of guys, obviously, like, getting hit around a little bit. Now you're just painting spots, getting guys out, minimizing the amount of walks, minimizing the amount of home runs. So what has been your kind of mindset on the mound right now?
Yeah, I think confidence plays a large role in that. I think having a cleaner delivery, like all that stuff I worked on. I was with a pitching coach in San Diego in the offseason, really good workout situation out there. So it's like Dom Johnson is his pitching guru. He's kind of like Mr. Miyagi, like Karate Kid. It's awesome. He does like all the wax, not wax on, wax off, but like arm circles. He's got these exercises. And stuff.
That was with Musgrove too, right?
Yeah.
Musgrove, our guy.
Yeah. So Musgrove. Oh, I didn't know you guys were.
Yeah. We had a good night in Toronto with Musgrove.
Really? Yeah.
Last offseason.
Joe's the man. He's hilarious. So yeah, it's Joe's godfather is Dom.
Oh, really?
This pitching guy. They've been together forever. And then Joe also owns the gym I was working at. So it's like he owns the gym, works out there a good bit. Obviously, he's got the Padres set up. And then it's his buddy. Well, not buddy. Well, yeah, buddy. Who's a trainer. This guy, Jono, who's amazing. And then they have a PT in staff there, this lady, Ashley, and their whole crew. So it works well together. The gym's called Symbiotic. So it's like that's the whole point. They work well together. And, yeah, that was a great setup.
Do they have you being built up as a starter right now? You're on the starter.
As of now, yeah. So it's like build up so that you could start if we need you. Otherwise, maybe transition to a pen roll or whatever. But it's always easier to build up and then taper down versus building up during the season.
How tough is that, though, like not really knowing what your role is going to be? Obviously, like if you want to come into spring training knowing you're going to be a starter or you want to come into spring knowing you're going to be like that Trevor Richards, like Bowden Francis type last year where you're kind of mm-hmm. just coming in piggybacking. Is that tough to go into spring having kind of it just being up in limbo?
I mean, sure, it's not ideal. Like, you'd love to be able to have a set role. But for me, I think it helps to have that competition and have that drive to push you to do better as opposed to becoming complacent.
Yeah, because Bassett, right, obviously, Bassett comes into spring training. He doesn't throw off a mound, obviously. He knows he's going to be a starter. Is it easier for you to come into spring training ramped up? Like it's like regular season, or is it kind of harder?
I mean, I don't mind it. It just means getting going quicker, obviously. And certain guys have the luxury, well-deserved. Someone like Bassett, like he's been around for a while and he's had consistent success over his career. He earned that, you know? And so far in my career, I haven't, which is just, that's just the way it is. So I need to be ready to get going from the get-go. And that's kind of always how it's been.
All right, we take a break in the Mitch White podcast to bring you a little more on sports interaction today. I was just scrolling through, looking at some futures, and I realized that opening day lines are up for Major League Baseball. And obviously, Jays and the Rays are playing opening day even. Minus 110 for both sides. If you want to get on that early before we even know who's pitching, you can do that on Sports Interaction. And again, a great place to place your season-long futures.
For your velo, how have you been able to pitch differently, if at all? Because you should be able to get more swing and miss, you'd think, right?
Sure. I mean, I think that's a good question. I think right now with my heater, that's been my best pitch this spring. And it's kind of finding the balance, because in the past I've thrown a lot of spin and I've been able to do that well and manipulate the baseball. But being able to have that heater to rely on has kind of changed how I attack hitters with that, like especially early, first time through. It's like I'm going to be hard most of the time, throwing hard most of the time and sticking with that. And now it's kind of fine-tuning the sequencing of pitching, where when do I throw the spin, when do I get when do I stay hard. I just need to be able to throw the off-speed in the zone, which has been my issue right now. I think I've been kind of getting into some bad counts because of that, and then getting almost lucky, I guess.
Yeah, then they sit on the fastball, then it's,
yeah,
they can hit, they can still hit 97, 98.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So you never know. But
who's one pitcher that kind of awes you just the way they go about their business on the Blue Jays? Like, is it a Gausman? Because obviously this team, like you mentioned, is full of dogs. Like, this entire starting rotation is insane. Obviously, Yusei Kikuchi now is one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball, obviously way different than where he was last year at this time. So who's one guy that's really awed you, just you see how he goes about his business?
I think I mentioned him before. I think Berrios is incredible, man. The way he works behind the scenes is insane. The guy's a, like you say, a dog. And I think the guys I respect the most, obviously there's incredible talent on the team. It's the guys who are able to post year in and year out. And someone who has never missed a start, like Hosey, who has incredible stuff, obviously, but he also puts in that work behind the scenes, is awesome to watch. Like, just watching him go through his routine day by day. And that's everyone on the team for sure. It's not just one guy, but Hosey's definitely one of them.
How do you like working with Pete Walker?
Oh, he's great. I mean, it's funny because I had a bullpen last side session in the lab that we have at the PDC. And it's like they got force plates in the ground to see where you're developing your force, how you're using everything you're creating.
That's insane.
Yeah.
What's the main thing they look at for you when they use all of those things? Is it the force plates?
No, it's not so much the force. Like, the force plates is like a way to check on, whether you're moving efficiently. So it's like when your delivery is at your best, where you're at, and then when things kind of hit the wall, how do we fix that? So we look back at that later. Right now it's like pitch grips and pitch design through Edutronic, which is super slow motion camera. So it has it like, you can see my hand working in slow motion for the split, for example, that I've been throwing. It's like, I don't really know why it works, but I kind of want to figure it out, obviously. So it's like, oh, well, when my middle finger's here and straight on the ball, it just kind of like pushes out. Then when I like kind of hook it, you can see a total change where the spin gets here. So like changeups have a 3 o'clock spin. So if you're looking at a clock, it's spinning like that, kind of like a UFO is what they call it. And that's what creates the drop, because there's like, I mean, if you get scientific with it, it's basically like low pressure zones, high pressure zones where the spin gets pushed down and then gravity can take control.
Do you think that could sometimes be too much? I know my dumb brain, like I know baseball players aren't.
Pitching's got to be a little different than hitting, right?
Like, baseball players aren't the brightest human beings on the planet. No. I mean, if you're trying to break that down to like a JUCO grad, no disrespect, I'm a JUCO guy, so I could say it. Like, that's a little bit too fucking much, right? Like, that's insane.
Yes, there's definitely different guys for sure. Some guys are more cerebral and they're into that, which is a little bit more my style. But at the same time, I don't need to know that. It's just like, tell me what to do, show me how I can make this pitch better, and then I can do that. So there's two levels to it. Oh, there's more than two levels, I guess, but there's certain people who need a little more why, and there's certain people who are just like, fuck it, just tell me what to do.
Like, talking around the league, because obviously you have boys around the league, like, do you tell your buddies about, like, just the player development complex here and how absolutely insane it is? Because we've heard nothing about good, nothing but good things about how insane the access you guys have to everything is here.
It's incredible. I mean, the organization as a whole, they're willing to spend money, obviously, in the free agent market, and then also in the facilities and the back end stuff, which is so cool. The PDC is the best I've seen in terms of facilities. Obviously, I haven't been in every single facility in the league, but as far as spring training goes, our setup is insane.
After all of your outings, what do you like to look back on? Are you a watch video over from everything, look at some advanced numbers, or just, hey, I put up zeros today, I punched fucking eight guys, that was sick?
Those nights are always the best.
Yeah.
But no, I like to look back at sequencing. Mostly, it's not really delivery as much, unless I'm totally out of whack, like can't find the zone kind of stuff.
How much sequencing do you get a say in? Like, at every level, does it change? Or is it
It depends. I mean, like, coming up, that was always a big focus for us, where we'd work with the catchers, talk over game plan and stuff, and figure out what tweaks we need to make, if any, or, like, what we should keep up on, and, like, what pitches work well together. So like in my side sessions, I'll work little three pitch mixes. So like, say it's a righty, it's what's your bread and butter sequence to a righty? It's like, all right, well, if I go fastball first pitch, try to execute a down and away heater, but I throw it up and in, it's like, all right, well, what pitch works off that? So I play the game in sides where I try to throw a heater away and then work off that. If I miss my spot, how does that change what the next pitch is going to be? Depending on count, leverage, and depending on location of the pitch.
Do you think the pitch clock has hurt that too, with your ability to think, or just like, hey, you got to be sharp, you got to be quick?
No, I mean, I've never really felt rushed by the pitch clock. I actually really like it, because so like when I was, I've been an up down guy a lot in my career, and you would go down to AAA. This is before the pitch clock. You go down to AAA and guys are in the box quick. Nobody really has a big long routine, and then you get to the big leagues and guys used to take forever. They'd like slow walk to the plate. They'd do a million little batting glove things or spit on the glove, whatever. So I like that extra pace, but you're right. It does make things kind of happen faster. So you need to be working in sync with the catcher better. And I think right now in spring, I need to do a better job of that, kind of working with our catchers and feeling the zone or feeling the hitter out. But that's kind of that's what spring's for, you know? Kind of figuring out how to pitch again.
Well, when we hear about Vladdy talking about, like, obviously pitchers coming to him, obviously him getting in his own counts.
Yeah.
Is that something that you feel like you've been doing better this spring? Is like you playing the hitter instead of the hitter playing you, in terms of like just sequences and like getting up in counts early? Is that like the biggest change you've noticed?
That's a big part of it. Yeah. Just being on attack mode. I mean, I was talking to Vladdy about it yesterday, and he was saying, like, I think it was the first inning we come in and he's sitting on the bench next to me and he's talking like, look, you got those first two guys out quick, and then the third guy, it's like slider, slider, non-competitive, non-competitive. And you think, if you just throw – he's saying basically, if you just throw that first pitch in the zone, like, he's probably not going to swing. I think it was like four or five pitches for the first two guys. So yeah. The third guy up is generally going to take a pitch or, like, ease into it a little bit. But it creates such a mental game of, like, just being on attack mode. From pitch one to that next guy is so important, because by going, I think I went 2-0 to the guy, it was Connor Joe. I went 2-0 to him, ended up walking him, and he was like, yeah, it gave him a chance to take a breath and be comfortable. Like, he wasn't rushed, which is always what you're trying to do, is dictate the pace of the game as a starting pitcher, especially.
But that was still a 10-pitch inning, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah. Like, it worked out. But, like, that's the stuff you look back on, and you're like, yeah, that's where I could get better. Like, that's the stuff. And baseball is such a weird game where, like, you could throw three pitches and give up three seeds and get away with it, or you could execute every pitch and end up getting smoked, you know?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, and you talking about the Vladdy helping you out and all that, has, like, other pitchers talked to you, like Berríos or Bassett or Gausman, about, like, how you could be better in terms of, like, mimicking what they do? Because those guys are so good. They're always in attack mode, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I mean, I talked a lot, especially when I first came over to Goss, about that kind of stuff, because he's so good at, like, he's essentially a two-pitch pitcher. Not really, but, like, those are his bread and butter. you know exactly how he's coming at you. And what he does better than a lot of guys is just attack and execute his plan.
Most fastballs, strikes in the zone in baseball.
Actually. Really? Okay, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he's doing. Everyone knows it, and he's just going to come right at you. And that's the kind of game plan I want to mimic. Obviously, we're not the same pitcher, but that's the same idea where guys feel kind of like under pressure, you know?
From your velo bump right here, have you seen a difference in your off-speed pitches as well? Do you think it's only helped your fastball, or is there some other pitches where you've noticed that it's helped you a little bit?
No, I mean, it's definitely the whole repertoire. I mean, everything works in relation to your other pitches. Yeah. So when guys just feel like they have to catch up to the heater, it makes everything play up better. And then I do think arm speed plays a big role, especially with like my slider, my hard slider, where the ball's spinning more, the ball's moving more. And then guys, like I said, are gearing up for the heater, and they kind of have to cheat. If they have to cheat for the heater, then that makes everything easier on the back end with putting guys away with spin or whatever it is.
Yesterday, obviously, we saw you guys yesterday, and they talked about you guys did a nice little talent show at the facility. Who was snapping it around? Who was buzzing in that talent show? What's like something that the fans don't know that someone has in their repertoire?
Yeah.
Big word.
Exactly. We had it was like a Latin group dance set up. They had like a bongo drum. They had those, I don't even know what they're called, like little shaker things. Yeah. Where they were like doing some stuff. And it was, Billie Jean. They did Billie Jean, but with like a Latin flair. It was sick. They were wearing like these little, they had a great get up. Everyone was wearing sunglasses. They were dancing and they were doing their little dance stuff. It was great. They killed it. Max McDowell, one of our catchers, he made a chair out of broken bats, a ball, like for the little coaster type things. He had a base to sit on. That was sick, actually. That was like cool woodworking kind of stuff. There's some good stuff. We had some fun time.
What's your talent? What are you like off the field? Like, what do you do for fun?
Luckily, I didn't have to do a talent.
Who had to do it?
It was all guys with less than a year of service time.
Okay.
So I got out of that one, but I don't know. I don't really have a good talent show thing in terms of stuff off the field though. Like I play a lot of video games. I'll read a lot, and I like to, just like TV shows, Netflix, all that stuff. You have so much time on the road where you're essentially just killing time in a hotel or wherever you are. So I kind of cycle between those.
Are you bringing a system on the road with you everywhere?
Yeah, I got a gaming laptop. So
that's sick. What do you play?
I mean, right now I'm not really playing much, but like in the past I've been a big Warzone COD guy, Apex, Fortnite when it came out. That was probably our biggest one. Like, that was in AA when it came out, or high AA, and we'd stay up to like 3-4 every night.
Like everyone.
Yeah, exactly. It was the best. Those times were like the golden years.
It's like Modern Warfare 2, and then Fortnite when it came out.
Oh, it was so good. I love that game so much. And then I'll play a lot of single-player games as well, but those were the most fun times I've had playing baseball, just like with the boys. Minor league grind is awesome.
And with the addition of Justin Turner, obviously, what has that been like in the clubhouse? Obviously, you guys had Brandon Belt last year, grizzled vet, one of the funniest dudes ever. Obviously, that's what everyone talks about. Yeah. What's the Justin Turner addition been like, even for you as a pitcher?
It's been awesome. I mean, I played with him a lot in the past, obviously, and he's one of those guys who's just a super pro, super vet. He's been in all these big situations, won a World Series ring. And I think, obviously, like, it's not like he's going to come in and just snap his fingers and make a difference. But having a guy like that around is amazing. And I love being able to talk to him about hitting, because he's a true pro when it comes to hitting. Like, he's the guy you want up with runners in scoring position, because he knows how to hit the ball the other way, do a job, hit the ball in the air when there's a guy on third. So I love picking his brain about what hitters are looking for, what guys like him are trying to do at the plate, and working that from a pitching side.
Last thing for me, you have to, one of your pitches, you want to make it way better. What's that pitch for you? Or a pitch that you kind of hate to throw that you have?
That's the splitter for me.
Yeah.
I love it and I hate it. And it's so frustrating because it's a weird, finicky pitch.
What grip did you get to Gausman's grip?
No, I can't. I tried.
Because we see Bowden, he just, before every pitch, right? Yeah. Now, he's jamming it into his leg to fucking
You gotta preset it.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's kind of a thing for me. Like, I don't like presetting it because I don't throw it a ton, but you kind of have to, obviously, so it's not predictable. And it's like a Vulcan split change. So, like, I jam it in between these two fingers and kind of, like, hook it like that. I mean, I don't have a ball, but that's the idea. And then it's the same principles as with, like, a true splitter like this, where you're trying to basically make it slip out and spin off this finger.
Is that where you'd get the blisters too, on the inside of that finger?
No, I haven't gotten blisters yet. I would get blisters here on the tip, like a tip of my pad, especially when guys were using sticky stuff. It was a little bit more stress on the finger. So like my whole pad would be ripped up from that. But so far the splitter, it just hurts like the, I don't know, the joints in your finger though. And you kind of have to get used to that. So.
And, you know, I mean, you're on a good team to learn the splitter. I mean, you got, like, obviously, Swanee, whose splitter is fucking nasty. And I wanted to talk about that bullpen, obviously, last year, one of the best bullpens in baseball. Who's one guy that you're just, that you just watched there, again, like, just in awe of? Is it Romano? Because, obviously, every single guy there is a freak. Like, that bullpen is so good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't say it's one guy in the pen. Like, all those guys, they don't get enough credit because they're in the bullpen, unfortunately. But those guys are dogs. You look at Yimmy, who's just a freaking stack house and throws fuzz, but he also has like six different pitches that you don't realize. Like, I would love to see, cause he came up as a starter. I would love to see starter Yimmy. I always say that because he can spin the ball like nobody else and he can make it move like crazy. Romy is awesome to watch cause off the field, he's a lot more, I don't want to say laid back, but he's just like not what you see the persona out on the mound where he's like huffing and puffing, kind of a psycho. Tim Mazza comes in. He's the fireman, like coming in, finishing innings like nothing, just getting ground balls. Trevor Richards has the best changeup in the game. Like, unbelievable.
It's insane, dude.
People don't realize how good that is. Nate Pearson coming in, throwing fuzz, just big body, like throwing 102. That's the cool thing is, like, it's kind of, you look at a bullpen like a toolbox where everyone has different ways to get guys out. And then Schneider has the luxury of matching guys up really well. Like, this guy doesn't hit sliders very well, so we'll throw so-and-so. Or this guy doesn't hit splitters. He's got reverse splits against righties. We're gonna throw this guy in there. And you can mix and match like that.
And this is the last thing for me. Obviously, in spring training now, the team's the underdogs this year. Obviously, everyone's kind of touting you guys not to be as good as you were last year, the year before. What's kind of the mindset coming into spring? Obviously, Bo Bichette alluded to it, talking about being the underdog might be a good thing. Like, what is it like in that clubhouse and just going in every day in and day out?
Yeah, I do think there is some of that for sure. Like, chip on your shoulder. Let's show everyone what we got. And I think sometimes for certain teams that works out well, and I think this is going to be one of those situations where I really like where we're at. People are kind of voting us off to a certain extent. And I think guys respond to that really well. And you've already seen it in camp. Guys are standing up talking about that kind of thing. And it's exciting. I'm excited to see where we start.
Well, how does Yariel Rodriguez look? Obviously, he only threw a little bit, but I'm assuming you've seen some of his pens. And I was talking with, I believe it was Ricky T or someone yesterday, mm-hmm. and they said that he's just nasty, like Yariel Rodriguez. Yeah.
Disgusting. I mean, like you said, I haven't seen him throw much. He might be, because he kind of got some, I think he had some visa issues or something.
Yeah.
He's a little behind, but I think he'll be ready and ready to go. I'm excited to see him in a game, finally. But just watching his bullpen, like, you could see, like, that stuff's different. He's going
to
be nasty.
Love to hear that. Well, anyways, I mean, Mitch, this is a pleasure,
Mitch,
man.
Yeah.
This
appreciate it. Second
our,
time.
Our annual pod. Hopefully we have you back next year in a nicer, maybe a little fucking mansion here.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a one, three, two-room bungalow or whatever the fuck we're in. But, Mitch, I appreciate you coming on this, man. Obviously, we're fired up to see what you've done, see what you're going to do, and best of luck the rest of this spring and this season, brother.
Yeah, thank you, boys, for having me.